Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between, and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and a San Francisco's blazing beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio.
What is this, episode 81?
81, biatch.
Come through.
I am your co-host, Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tees.
And, of course, needless to say, as soon as we start recording, there's some, like, some randomness happening outside my home. So, this past weekend, Pearl, was a fun one. It was a hot one, bitch, but it was a fun one. I was down at Silicon Valley Pride and got to spend some time down there with...
That was a bunch of prides. Wasn't there also Stockton Pride this weekend?
It might have been Stockton Pride this weekend. I don't know that for a fact. I was so focused on what was going on in Silicon Valley. And I did, of course, I did my Divas Royale show with you.
On Sunday.
Saturday. Bitches, Saturday. Pearl fell down, girl.
Girl, my
Pearl
knee still kind of hurts.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I really hurt myself, girl. My knee has been iced for like 3 days.
Oh, my God. Well, you guys, Pearl was out there turning it out. And then all of a sudden...
After the number, girl. It wasn't even like during the number.
It wasn't during the number. I was like, put your hands together for Pearl Tees, everyone. And... they're clapping, and she goes to run off and fucking tripped over her gown. Like,
right.
She was, and the thing was, it was a tearaway. She had it in her hand, and she's like running off. She's like, ooh. Ah, bye.
And waving, I'm trying to wave, and all of a sudden, I just
slipped.
Girl, it was hard, too. That floor was not soft.
My friend Zachary Dyer was like, oh, no, she didn't, bitch. She fell down. She fell down.
Girl, queen down.
So, anyway, that was actually a really fun time. It's a cute crowd, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, it is.
It's very different. I think that we talked in the past about how, like, Bachelorette...
I've heard a lot of things about the show, and it sounds like you've got it more organized than you have before.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, like, there have been issues, and this time was ran so smooth, and that's how it's going to run from now on, hopefully. But we've heard a lot about people, you know, frustrated about... Bachelorette parties and things invading gay bars and drag shows.
Yeah,
and sort of.
This is where you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly. You can just go look up Divas Royale San Francisco online, and you can, if you're a bachelorette and you want to get married and have your bachelorette party at, you know, drag show, boom, do it. And it's all about you. It's not like, it's
right.
Literally all
and
about
you. And
you
guys, we're not even sponsored to say this, girls. So we are legit, girl.
Mm-hmm. We're not sponsored to say it. It's one of those things, like, I think that it's wonderful that they're making opportunities like this because
mm-hmm.
bachelorette parties are problematic at times when they go to just a random club because,
right.
You know, there's a big group of you and all of a sudden it's like about you and not about what's going on. And
chances are it's a weekend and it's already packed at the venue you're going to be at, girl.
So anyway, so we did that. And then Sunday I was at San Jose. Well, it's formerly San Jose. It's now Silicon Valley Pride. And I was down there and we got the chance to perform with Milk, and I also was with Chi-Chi Devane, who, by the way, will be on with us later this episode, girls. Yes.
Fabulous. I was actually with Chi-Chi Devane on Friday night with Kim Chi over in Sacramento for a gig I had out there. If you guys want to check out some highlights from it, go check out my Facebook page.
Come on now.
Some pictures, some video, some fun stuff for you.
So Chi-Chi Devane will be joining us. And at us like on an upcoming episode, we're also going to have Milk on too. So
fabulous!
Yeah, we're, you know, we haven't had all of our Drag Race girls on in a while. We haven't had any on in a while, actually.
Right.
So,
well, I working with Kim Chi and Chi-Chi. Kim Chi is so sweet. I think we should definitely have her on. Like, she is so personable, and I feel like she would be great on air.
Okay, that'd be great. I would love. I mean, we would love to have her on, of course. And
so Kim
okay,
Chi, join us.
By the way, y'all. Pearl's sitting here fucking eating some Cheez-Its or something.
I've been on this fucking diet. I am starving.
Wait for lunch. It's hungry, hungry hippo. hungry, hungry hippo. We're hungry, hungry hippo. We love to feed our face. We're hungry, hungry hippo. We're really eating great.
It's hungry, hungry hippos. First to gobble up the most marbles wins.
She's all rust.
Probably not good for my diet.
I'm sure they're not. And they're not good for the podcast, bitch. All rustle, rustle, rustle.
They can't hear it, girl.
Oh, bitch, you know they can hear every bit of it. By the way, Pearl got gifts in the mail.
Is this from Lexi Rayford?
It's from Lexi Rayford.
Thanks, Lexi. I've been following her on her journey outside of the U.S.
Well, this is from one of our loyal listeners and one of our social media friends and followers. Lexi Rayford in Florida went to Spain recently.
She recently told me a little bit more about her backstory. I just adore that girl.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart, and she sent Pearl some stuff. I didn't open it, so I don't know what it is.
That was some art.
Oh, it's some art, girl.
A Barcelona.
You can frame that shit.
Right.
And, like, it's very pretty, you guys. It's some artwork of Barcelona. Oh, look, there's the car plowing into the crowd of people. Oh, my God. Oh, sorry,
flashbacks.
Y'all.
That was
fucked up. Right. Sorry. Anyway, what's this? There's, like, a box. It's some incense, I think, because Pearl's puss smells horrible.
Oh, it's a... You opened this one, didn't you?
No, I didn't, bitch. I didn't open shit. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Okay. This is a fan.
It's a fan, you guys.
Looks like a really...
Aww.
Oh, that's so cute. It's nice, too. I actually need a new fan for makeup. This is perfect.
Great, great. Put it down before they hear all of it.
I love it. You guys should see it. It's so cute. I gotta send her
It's got musical notes on it and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's very pretty.
That's so cute. So, if I ever left the United States, I always told myself if it wasn't Canada, I would want to check out Barcelona or Germany. But Barcelona, it just always looks so beautiful.
Well, yeah, it does look beautiful. And Lexi sent me that Barcelona and some other stuff. There's so much stuff up there. I don't remember exactly what the other one was, but
you got so much shit up there, it's just gonna fall off.
Well, all of that's gifts. I've got, so in my home, you guys, I mean, in our studio.
Yeah, but that shelf cannot hold all those gifts, girl.
Well,
I don't know. Is that crown made of paper?
No, the crown, the big one?
Yeah.
The big one actually is just made of plastic and stone. Okay. It's very, very light. But I've got three full shelves of mostly Wonder Woman memorabilia, but it's stuff that had been given to me as gifts. Like, most of that stuff is all gifts up there. So, anyway, Lexi Rayford, thank you so much, sweetheart. We appreciate it.
So much. I'll send you a snap of it.
Aw, how cute. So, that is what has been going on this weekend.
Sorry, girl. I just needed one more.
Bitch, she is... Meanwhile, I'm over here. I'm bitching at her, but I'm burping up here. Sugar-free rock stars. So, in addition to all of the activities that we have been doing here, the entire world basically feels like it's watching Houston drowned, girl.
Seriously, I've seen videos of people in boats inside of houses in Houston.
Okay, so this is a little story. I don't remember if we told this story before on this podcast. I may have talked about it on when I had my podcast with Sandra. Oh, no, she didn't. Uh-huh. So when I was 6 years old, you guys, my family moved from Ohio to a place called Mansfield, Texas, which is just outside Houston.
That's how James Mansfield got her name.
James Mansfield got her name from Jane Mansfield.
I don't know who that is.
You guys, this is where I'm going to fucking insert every cricket, some kind of record scratching. Jane Mansfield is a famous beauty icon on par with, or of the time frame where she was a contemporary to Marilyn Monroe.
Huh.
She is very Anna Nicole Smith in her stature, and she was unfortunately killed in a horrendous car accident.
Ooh, very Diana.
Wherein her daughter was in, her children, both of them were in the back seat, but her daughter specifically was hit in the face by glass from the windshield and now has a scar that you can see every single week on her television show.
What's the television show called?
Law & Order SVU. Mariska Hargitay is her daughter.
Oh.
Benson, Olivia Benson, like, yeah. Gorgeous, gorgeous Mariska Hargitay.
Wow.
And they make her stay brunette because probably if she was blonde, she would look almost exactly like her mom. She's gorgeous. Oh, my God. Anyway.
Wait, they make her not go blonde because she would be as pretty as her mom?
They make her not be blonde because she would look probably just like her mom.
And is that a problem?
Her mom was just, like, a blonde bombshell. I think they want her to look like a really beautiful, normal woman.
Like, I guess blondes aren't normal women now, girls.
No, but she would look like a sex symbol. So they want her... I mean, it just doesn't sort of play with the character. I'm assuming, by the way, that her mom had the same hair color that she does. Though the fact is that also Mariska Hargitay is only, like... half white. Like, her mom is white and her dad is, like, Greek or something. That's not white, but not white. Anyway, so, back to original.
Never mind, I'm not gonna get into it.
Like,
anyway, so, Ohio for example, Mansfield girl.
Right. But what I mean by that is that, like, people who have, like, olive skin, like, some, depending on where they would live, they would be considered, like, not black or not brown or whatever. They're just, like, a norm.
A norm?
They are the norm. Then again, I guess if you're brown and you're somewhere where everybody's brown, that's the norm. Anyway, back to my Mansfield story.
Yeah.
So, when I was six, we moved to Mansfield, Texas, and...
Texas, okay.
And it's, like, about 30 miles outside of Houston. And at the time, Houston had not done all the urban sprawl. So now, this place is probably, like, considered part of Houston. Okay. But there was a distance between the two that was kind of just open highways. And the... We got there in the summertime, and we lived in this place that was kind of, had been run down, but we fixed it all up. It was really getting quite lovely, though it was in the middle of nowhere. And within probably like 2 months of moving in there, a tropical storm hit, which tropical storm is like a low-grade hurricane. If they pick up speed, it becomes a hurricane. Anyway, the place fucking flooded horrendously, and... We have photos of my sister and me and my mom and I think my mom and dad, or maybe my dad and his brother. And this was in the 70s, you guys, when, like, inflatable furniture was sort of a thing.
Oh, wow.
And we it was just a trend, you know what I mean? And we had an inflatable couch. And there's a photo of us in our living room paddling the couch around. There was so much water. And I will never forget it because... When the rain started coming really, really, really hard, my sister was 3 and I was 6, and my mom put us in her room, like her bedroom, because our bedroom, like part of the ceiling had like started to fall away because the winds and everything.
Oh my God.
And so there was a lot of water coming in. Well, I will never forget, we were sitting in her bed watching the TV, like watching TV, and all of a sudden the water got so high it went into the electrical sockets and the TV exploded.
Like a microwave.
Yeah. And it was terrifying, needless to say. So, and then...
That's the first thing I would have did. As soon as I realized the rain was coming in, girl, everything would have been unplugged.
Well, I mean, it didn't matter because ultimately the electricity is still going through, you know what I mean? Like, but we ended up being stranded because... Where we lived was so flooded that we had to leave out of our home. And luckily, my dad, you guys, was quite a redneck. So, like, very whatever. He had a big 4x4 pickup truck with a flatbed on, like, a flatbed pickup truck. And it was my mom, my dad, my sister and I, and my dad's brother and his wife. So, 6 of us.
Wait, your dad's brother's. Okay.
So, like, my uncle and aunt. And the 6 of us... ended up staying for 3 days, or four days and 3 nights, on the back of my dad's flatbed pickup truck. And the water was just, like, it was probably, like, several feet deep. Because I remember my mom had an old Pinto. Do you remember those old Ford Pintos? And we have a photo of the car. The water was so deep that only the top of the car could be seen.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, maybe the top 4 inches of the car. So... We were on the back of this pickup truck, and it was horrendous. My heart goes out to those people. Like, it's one thing to be stranded probably in an urban area, but even that. But we were in the middle of, like, fields and shit. There were rats swimming by. snakes in the water.
Hell no.
Girl, well, there's nothing you can do. So I remember the second day of the flooding, the water started to go down, and my uncle and my dad tried to walk to see if they could flag down somebody. Because people, just like in Houston, what's happening right now, people were coming by in canoes and boats and trying to rescue mm-hmm. people. And so my dad and his brother were walking towards our nearest neighbor, which was probably maybe a quarter of a mile away. And they're in water that's like over waist deep. You know what I mean? It's like quite deep. And all of a sudden, like, they get to the neighbors and the neighbor's like, don't move. And he's got a gun. And my dad's like, what the fuck are you doing? And the guy shoots into the water. And my dad's like, what are you doing? And the guy's like, I shot a snake. It was right next to you.
Oh my God.
My dad flipped out. Oh my God. And it was like poisonous snakes, like water moccasins. And I remember ant beds, like if you, like a pile of ants, what they do if they go underwater, the ant hill, they all bite onto each other and they create a floating raft, and then the queen will climb up on top of it so she can survive. All the other ones might drown, but she'll survive so she can keep laying eggs.
Oh my God.
And so those were floating by, and there was one really dramatic incident where this rat was on a 2x4, like this big rat was on a 2x4 and it was floating past. And it saw, like, it was, like, moving towards us, and it was, like, all crouched down, like, it, like, might jump off of the 2x4 onto where we were.
Oh, hell no.
And my uncle took off his belt and was, like, cracked the belt and, like, hit the rat with the belt buckle, and the rat was, like, into the water, like, it was fucked up. Anyway, as soon as we left there, my dad insisted that we move into a second floor apartment in Houston, because he was, like, hail to the no.
Right. I hope you guys had insurance.
Well, we were poor. We didn't have shit to lose, really. But, I mean, I will tell you this. We did lose everything. Like, I remember when we moved into our new place, all of our home furnishings were, like, lawn chairs. Like, those folding lawn chairs.
Oh, my God.
And for like, coffee tables, I remember my dad was a construction worker, and, like, there's those big spools that wire come on, like those wooden spools. We had those as, like, coffee tables and end tables, milk crates. Like, we didn't have anything. We had nothing. So we, you know, and like I said, my sister was 3, I was 6. And my dad and mom were extremely young, because I was born when my dad was 20, and so he was, like, 26, and my mom was, like, in her early 20s. So, yeah, it was... Mm-hmm.
So, my heart goes out to those people out in Houston, girl, so...
How about that giant church refusing to open and let people in? You've seen that?
That's why I don't fuck with the church.
Well, it's like, really now? You're not gonna open. You can seat, like, 20,000 people in your church.
Right.
Literally. And you're not gonna... I say... you know what? I bet I'd be breaking into that motherfucker. I'd be like, okay,
y'all.
You
don't even pay taxes. You better help a bitch out.
Yeah. I bet you, like, a few refugees would be like, I'd be like, okay, y'all, we're breaking into this bitch.
Right.
We're taking this over.
We'll come in from the roof, bitch.
Swimming through the roof, bitch. Right. Like, anyway, it's a terrifying situation. And I think that Chi-Chi Devane was in the Louisiana area during Katrina, maybe. So it'd be interesting to get her perspective.
Oh my God, that I did not know.
I think, because she's from down south there, so I'm not sure where, but...
We'll find out later.
Yeah, well, we're going to ask about that. Anyway, it's like, it's really horrifying, and the problem with these situations is that, girl, that whole city is displaced now. I mean, right. I don't know if... Many people around the world have probably seen these photos, but they have photos circulating where they're showing highways. They'll show, like, a before and after. There's, like, a highway with, like, an overpass, and then there's, like,
You can't even see the highway on it.
You can't even see it anymore. It's, like, everything has disappeared. And even when the water goes back away, all that shit's going to need to be cleaned up. All of it's going to, you know...
Damage.
Everything is going to have to be checked. Like, Houston is...
Not gonna be the same.
One of the 5 largest cities in the United States.
The top 10 largest U.S. cities by population. 4. Houston, Texas. Population, 2,296,224.
Really? No.
Yeah, Houston is, well, easily one of the top 10, but I'm pretty sure it's considered one of the top 5 largest cities. New York, Los Angeles, like Miami, I think Houston is right in that mix.
So we did a systematic comparison between the 2000 and the 2010 census data. And in doing that, we found that Houston, Texas came out as the number one fastest growing metro area, adding over 1.2 million people. 80,000 of the growth is from the Katrina evacuees from New Orleans.
Houston's humongous, millions of people. Millions and millions. And this is something that has happened in that city repeatedly over the years. I lived in Houston, in the Houston metro area for 8 years growing up, and we had countless hurricanes, but very rarely is there the amount of flooding that we're seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, often with hurricanes, there'll be rain, but the biggest drama or the biggest damage is caused by winds. Well, this had 130-mile-an-hour winds, plus, I don't even, untold gallons and gallons and gallons of water spilled in. You know, it's like, I just really feel for these people. Their entire lives have been turned upside down and terrifying. Terrifying, you guys. Terrifying.
Well, good luck. I wonder what happens to the kids at that point, because obviously there's no school, no nothing.
Oh, I mean, everybody's fucked. Like, their education is fucked right now. Like, luckily, I don't think they've started back to school, but there ain't no school to start back to, girls, right. So, I mean, it's a mess. And, of course, there's also, because of the large Mexican populace there, so many people are afraid of trying to get the services they need to get help because they're afraid of being deported or being detained because of
Trump's
that.
Dumbass.
Yeah, there's like all kinds of things that are happening here. And
how depressing.
It's very, very sad. I saw this thing that said, like, Beyonce's rallying thoughts from celebrities for Houston or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this person tweeted her, "The fuck we gonna do with thoughts, bitch? Send money and help."
Oh my god. Shit.
I was like, man, that's kinda true, bitch.
Right.
The fuck they gonna do with your good thoughts, whore?
Well, I'm sure she has sent money. I heard Jennifer Lopez and her partners sent them over $50,000.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'm sure that a lot of money will be raised.
Mm-hmm.
In LGBT-related news to this, there was a group of drag queens from Houston who were doing a Facebook Live call for help and assistance and stuff like that. So I wish I knew their names.
Oh my God, were they out at a show and this happened? Stuck in a storm.
Could you imagine all the bitches like out there in the water? The only thing keeping them afloat were their boobs for queens, bitch.
Right. Like, oh my God.
Bitch, hold on your titties, bitch. We're gonna drown.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, anyway. All right, you guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Party Foul Radio right after this. I'm going to hopefully let Pearl fucking finish these Cheez-Its.
So. I'm almost done.
Okay, after the break, she'll have scarfed them down, and we will be less crackling and shit. We'll talk to you in a minute. Each and every episode of Party Foul Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, Daddy's Barbershop. Located at 4102 19th Street in the Castro, Daddy's Barbershop was voted San Francisco's favorite barbershop in the 2017 Bestie Awards. Go visit Arlen, Jesse, and all the men and women of Daddy's Barbershop to get your hair done for the summer. Daddy's Barbershop is a proud sponsor of Party Foul Radio. And we're back with more Party Foul Radio. We just heard about our sponsor, Daddy's Barbershop. Go check them out. They're 19th and Castro in the Castro District, y'all. Get your hair did.
Girl, I walked by them this weekend and they were popping up in there.
Girl, well, they're voted.
They always have their windows open, music blaring. Girl, it was like a party. I was like, all right, Daddy's Barbershop.
Yeah, and they were voted San Francisco's favorite barbershop for a reason. They are, I don't know if I mentioned this, but they are actually going to be expanding into Palm Springs, girl. Come on, Palm Springs. They're opening a second location down in Palm Springs sometime.
So Palm Springs listeners, y'all better keep an eye out.
Yes, for Daddy's Barbershop. And I think I might be going down with them to help them open their new location.
Why, you do hair?
No, I might be like a celebrity spokes whore.
A celebrity spokesperson.
Speaking of which.
Girl, what are you doing? She's over here about to break her computer and get us
I found out that I was nominated for one of Australia's LGBTI awards for international celebrity.
Is this the one you told me you were going to turn down?
I did tell you I was going to turn it down. And then I was like, you know what? Okay.
Here she go.
Well, I don't know how I got nominated.
Neither do I, girl.
Neither. Girl, I don't know either. But the fact is that they reached out to me. And so this was the thing. I got the award nomination information. And the way this award works is they extend the nomination to like a certain number of people. Then you submit a bio and information, and then it goes in front of a committee, and you may be chosen. So at this point, I've been pre-nominated. I don't know if I'm going to get really, really nominated. But nonetheless, to our listeners in Australia, the only thing I can think of is that maybe we've got some listeners down there who nominated me because the nominations come from the public or whatever. Maybe it's because we've been partnered with GuideToGay.com, and GuideToGay.com is Australia's premier LGBTQ online internet destination for travel, entertainment, and news. And maybe somebody there, I don't know. I do not know how it happened, but I got nominated, and I had considered turning it down. I considered turning down the nomination because I was like, this is absurd. And I saw that they were like, other people that were like being discussed for nominations were like, RuPaul and Selena Gomez. And I was like, what? I was like, I told her, I was like, when you said this, I thought it was like LGBT related, like, you know, maybe like an international, I thought maybe somebody like Panty Bliss, for example, who is a very outspoken drag queen and activist in Ireland, might be nominated. Maybe like Sister Roma or...
Sister Roma, I don't know the other one.
And like, you don't know Panty Bliss?
No.
Well, I mean, I thought that maybe it was like these LGBTQ celebrities, quote, and I use that term in real quotes, y'all, celebrities from who have made differences on a local level or something. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, we've got a great podcast, you know, all this stuff. Maybe that was it. Well, then they're like, Demi Lovato, you know, whatever we're talking about. RuPaul, let us know if you want to accept your nomination. I was like, okay. I thought I would feel foolish, like, and the nominees this year are Demi Lovato,
Selena Gomez,
RuPaul,
and Poyo Del Mar.
I know, I was like, this is absurd.
Well, it's probably, it could be one of these things to where they do have big celebrities that they nominate, but these celebrities have bigger awards they're going after, so they don't respond to them and don't end up, you know.
Right, that's what I'm kind of thinking, too. I will tell you that I was looking at some of last year's recipients of this award, and that LGBTI awards in Australia are called Australia's Gay Oscars. Mm-hmm. And last year, Lucy Lawless won an award and was there and picked it up, girl.
Oh my goodness.
So,
speaking of Lucy Lawless, I know this is off topic, but I'm going to Comic-Con and I'm meeting Gabrielle on Sunday. I'm so excited.
Oh.
She's going to be there, girl. And as soon as I see her, I'm going to scream her name. Gabrielle.
Well, if you get to meet her.
Oh, I will. She's going to be there on Sunday for the meet and greet, and I'm getting in line bright and early.
Okay, well then what you need to do is ask her about co-host a podcast. And
so you need to give me a card so I can give it to her.
Bitch! Fuck it. I'll do the legwork my damn self. Girl.
Pearl's need cards.
Pearl's worthless. We do need cards. And we do need cards. That's very true. So maybe we can get cards before weekend.
I'd be down, girl.
Anyway, so like I said, Lucy Lawless was there. Among other, the Veronicas were there.
Girl, if you give me cars before Comic-Con, there's other people that are going to be there. The guy that played Darth Maul is going to be there. The guy, Sam from Lord of the Rings, is going to be there. The voice of...
Where is this Comic-Con at?
The Moscone Center.
Oh, downtown.
Yeah. Buttercup and Tommy... The voice of Buttercup and Tommy Pickles is going to be there. The original Red Ranger is going to be there. Oh, girl. Some guy from the show Arrow is going to be there. There's going to be a bunch of people there.
Well.
I'm juiced.
Pearl is, it turns out, a fucking nerd. Okay.
Shut up, bitch. Whatever.
All right, you guys. We are about to call our first guest at this time. He's an independent professional wrestler. You guys know that Pearl, see, Pearl get hella lazy. We don't have any sci-fi people up on the show.
Well, if you give me cards.
I do all the legwork, so who do I get on here?
I time out. Who's the producer of the show?
Me.
That's what I thought.
That's
part of your job description, Bo.
We're going to be, we will be talking with out professional wrestler on the independent scene, Effie Gibbs. Let's call him right now, girl. Let's do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's call Effie. We're giving you ringing in.
Hola.
Hi, Effie. It's Pollo.
What's up, Pollo? I was trying to roll my R's, but I figured out I can't roll my R's.
Well, that's all right.
I was going to try to sound really fancy, but...
I am here with my co-host, Miss Pearl Tease. Say hi, Effie.
Hi, Effie. It's so funny because when you told me that we were interviewing someone named Effie, the first thing I thought was Effie White from Dreamgirls.
See, there's so many Effies. There's 100 Effies.
Is there really?
There's only Effie.
Oh, my God. You know what I mean? So, we've had so many different professional wrestlers who either are gay or act gay or portray gay in professional wrestling. Where do you fall? Are you or do you just portray?
My boyfriend is in the other room playing League of Legends right now, so not just a portrayal. And I get a lot of shit for it, too, because I guess I can pass if I really tried, like, really pass the hetero. So people are like, oh, you can't do a gimmick like that, you know, bro. It's, like, offensive to people. Like, I'm going home with him. Like, we live together. So, you know, sometimes you gotta do a little extra explaining, but, yeah, I'm all sorts of things, but I have a full-time live-in boyfriend who's not on salary, not just a character I hired.
Wonderful.
We are all about each other. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It's great. And, you know, it's like one of those things where, like, you get nervous about it, you know, starting out in wrestling because everybody's such a macho jackass. But, like, once you fully accept it, you honestly get booked more.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Did you say booked more or fucked more?
Booked more. You get more work, bitch.
I was going to say, well, girl, you better get it where you can.
Lord. Well, once you fully accept it, I'm assuming you get both more.
Right. I'm right.
So
double it up.
Oh, my God.
Good times.
All right. Come through. Anyway. So what's it like being a gay wrestler who's open?
Well, it's two ends of the spectrum because half the shows I'm doing right now, I'm in the Southeast. I'm in Florida, you know, big wrestling area, South Georgia, Alabama, Florida, a lot of shows.
Oh, wow.
So half the shows I'm working now, I'm like a super hated heel.
I was going to say, that's all red state. They don't like the gays there.
Guy.
Yeah, just because you're gay.
Right, and I still get the, you know, like, I had a group that the whole building was chanting, you a gay. Like, besides it being poor grammar, like, it just, the whole thing was really silly to me. I was like, guys, I'm in here fighting, you know, you a gay is not really going to offend me. It's accurate. Let's move forward. But then, like, the other half of the shows, people are like, yes, daddy, come.
I live.
Give me all your love.
Well, I
do the same thing either way.
Wait, so have you had any really, like, crazy fans?
Oh, yeah. Are you serious? So many crazy fans. But I love it. Like, the best is, I had a guy come up to my merch table at a show, I think 4 times total. The first time he came up, he called me a queer and walked away. The second time he came up, he called me a queer and walked away. And then I think the third time, he said something else that was offensive. And the fourth time, you bought a shirt, so...
What?
What am I supposed to do with that? These people are dealing with some inner turmoil, and hopefully I'm at least sending them through the door and telling them it's okay to feel that way, as long as they pay me $15.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, well. I... Okay, so, you know, like, my experience here in the local indie scene has been really positive, like, super accepting, super positive. For the most part, my first experience was a little bit mixed, but after that, it's been great. I mean, I remember I went to the first show I did here in drag, and I overheard somebody who didn't realize I could hear them saying, "Where's that dude who looks like a chick?" And, you know, like, whatever. And I said, And I just chimed in. I was like, I'm literally behind this door. I can hear you. And the guy was like, but not the best experience. But after that, you know, it's been really cool and accepting. But that's in Northern California, where it's much more accepted across the board. And so what has it been like in the dressing room for you?
Well, jumping on the back of what you just said, I worked a show probably 2 years ago, and I was talking to a local drag queen in the area, and I was like, it would be so great if you could come out and be my valet. And he was like, I don't know, I don't know how the people are going to react. And he's getting ready in the same room as me, and one of the wrestlers walks by and says, whose big bitch is that? Literally word for word says, whose big bitch is that? I said, it's mine. And he said, figures.
Like, oh my goodness.
Okay. So how... we came out and I thought it would be a heat magnet. I mean, we're in Hazelhurst, Georgia, or middle of nowhere.
Georgia.
And it came out and just the energy we were both giving off, people just were so about it. And I was super over and she was super over and it really worked. I want to do it again, but you know, it's hard to find willing participants sometimes.
Well, how...
it was fun and it kind of came out opposite from what I thought it would be, you know?
Well, I definitely think that the one thing that you have to accept and embrace is the idea that no matter whether you're booked as, the good guy or the bad guy, I'm using terms for the listener, if whether you're the heel or the face, you're the good guy or the bad guy, with a gimmick like that, it could really go exactly opposite of what you expect. And I think that you just have to be prepared for whatever people are going to say.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do you deal with that kind of, I guess, feedback or criticism or, you know, just attention, I guess?
Well, I'm kind of a big asshole when it comes to people, you know, talking crap to me or talking shit, whatever they're doing, and I come right back at it with them. And I've had, you know, the older country guys are there with their wives, they're with their families, and they're kind of accosting me, and I sort of say, isn't it nice you and your wife both have something to think about tonight? You know, or just messing with their mind. I'll pull a dollar bill out of my trunks and tell them, sweetie, you can go get me a drink. So I'm not, shying away from messing with people, especially if they're coming at me. And a lot of times what happens is you have those interactions. They see that you can hold up your side of the deal. At the end of the show, you know, whether they want to admit it or not, it is a performance, and they kind of come up and say, hey, man, you know, no hard feelings, that was pretty good, you know, it was entertaining, I don't agree with it, but, you know, it was pretty entertaining.
Oh,
and it happens
God.
In a lot of the shows, to where, the first time I show up, it's, you know, you're a faggot, you're so gay you can't see straight. The second show, it might be more of a 50-50 split. And then the third or fourth time I'm booked somewhere, people kind of latch on. So, you know, I'm not standing up here saying I'm, turning people's minds around on the LGBT community, but I'm there's at least a little progress that I'm seeing on the ground of, hey, they hated me a while ago, and now they're willing to at least tolerate me and put up with me out here, you know?
Well, I will tell you, I did this thing that we have the video on YouTube, and it was this great in-ring bit with a female wrestler, Kiki of the Fallen Flower, and we do
Come on, Wallflower, girl, I miss her.
and we do this in-ring bit, but my favorite part of the whole fucking video, I mean, it's crazy and fun or whatever, but my favorite part is that you hear somebody in the crowd go, what's that? When I'm in the ring, and it just made me,
what is that?
And I was like, bitch, you know, and I'm the same way. I'm booked as a face. I'm supposed to be the good guy or the good girl or whatever here. And still, you still get that kind of response. But if somebody comes for me, I'm going to come right back. I'm not going to just take it laying down.
Exactly. And I think there's almost respect to that, especially with wrestling fans, because they want to test you, especially if you're supposed to be out there and you're a performer and you're supposed to be this kind of more than human character. You know, you're still a human, but you have to kind of be above all that. And once they can see that you can take it and dish it, they're sort of whether they like you or not, there's sort of an earned respect in wrestling, to where they're still going to be open to what you're doing, whether or not they agree to it, you know?
Of course. And
the worst thing you can do is back down and ignore it, you know?
Absolutely. And if you just check my Grindr profile, you know I can take it and dish it.
Anyway, shut up.
I'm sorry.
So wait, have you ever had to get physical with someone or with someone who got confrontational?
No. I mean, luckily, I mean, like, I think I had somebody run into the ring one time, and we just kind of tossed him to the side. But for the most part, it seems like the professionalism in a lot of the shows is, hey, no matter what you're doing, we're still protecting our performers. So I really haven't had any issues on that. But I'm still careful leaving certain shows or getting out of the area or, you know, who's hollering at me, let's just go to the car. I don't really want to incite anything like that. And, I mean, fortunately, I'm in a position where a lot of people aren't, which is, I mean, I'm a 6'1 white dude. I'm big. People aren't going to really fuck with me. And that's a real privilege that I kind of roll with. But I'm sure it'll happen one day. We'll knock somebody out. I'm not scared.
Yeah, I mean, I
give him a little Velvet Rage.
Come on, Velvet Rage.
You are such a queen. Come through, Velvet.
Well, have you never heard the term Velvet Rage?
It sounds like a gown or something to me, girl.
Oh, my God. Velvet Rage is like the internalized anger of growing up gay.
The Velvet Rage, overcoming the pain of growing up gay in a straight man's world. Written by Alan Downs.
It's a term. Oh, it's no, a psychological
never heard
of it. Term.
No.
I think that, by the way, I think that'd be a great name for your tag team. Velvet Rage. The Velvet Rage.
Yeah.
So, like,
I gotta find somebody who can keep up.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure that there's plenty of them out there. I mean, I think that the number of people who are now out in the industry is, like, growing significantly in the last few years. So, you have to admit that. So, couldn't be that hard.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And even people who don't use their character in that way, like Mike Perro, who's down in Orlando, who's really killing it. I mean, the dude is 6'4", 6'5", probably 300 pounds, huge beard, muscled out of his mind, comes out in leather pants and just power bombs everybody, and he's like, I have fucked bigger guys than you.
Yes! Like, you are not gonna touch me. I love it,
you know
girl.
What I mean? So it's the stigmas are racing away, and it's great, because, like, let's talk about it. We're out here in our underwear dancing around. You know, is anybody really surprised that there are some homosexuals involved?
Or that there's some homosexuals watching at home. I mean, I think right. that the acknowledgement that even that there's an LGBT fan base is only now starting to happen, too. I mean, I remember, you know, like constantly on Twitter, there's somebody who's like, oh, my God, a drag queen who likes professional wrestling. I'm like, are you being serious right now? Because the only difference between me and, like, Ric Flair is that I contour on cleavage and tuck my dick. I mean, like, we're in the same outfit. You know, it's like, right. Really? Come on now.
Yeah, we're both coming out to music and outfits and performing in our segment, and then we're going back to the back again. It's the same thing, you know? Both of us are equally sweaty. I can guarantee it.
Yeah. I love the fact that it is becoming more openly discussed. I love the fact that it is no longer something that people, across the board at least, feel the need to hide, because I can only imagine what it would have been like in a generation like Pat Patterson, who, for
oh
the
my
listeners...
gosh. So old.
Right. Well, for the listeners, Pat Patterson was a huge superstar throughout the late 70s and mid-80s, and he's still very influential in the World Wrestling Entertainment Organization, but he remained closeted most of his life, and I just think that that must have been an absolutely fucking horrible experience.
Well, it has to be horrible, but I think kind of looking into it a little bit more, I think, you know, a lot of people knew, but with wrestlers having that secret code, especially in the 60s, 70s, 80s, of people really thinking the business was still real, and you've got to kind of fight with that now, but people really believing that these are still actual fights that are happening, there's sort of almost a brotherhood of, you know, we can keep a secret. So whether or not they were acknowledging it, I mean, Pat was showing up with, you know, his, I guess, husband now at all these events. And people were either ignoring it or kind of leaving it alone. But, you know, I think there was, at least within the wrestlers, I'm not sure what he dealt with outside of it. I think there was a little bit of understanding, but, you know, I'm sure it's still not easy to have to fake your life after leaving the ring, you know, because the fans are supposed to think you're some sort of hunk that they can agree with and move on to, you know, and be a part of their life.
Yeah, I mean, well, by the way, listeners, there was a huge... He was always the center of tremendous controversy because they said that he had quite a casting couch, we'll say.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then again, I mean, look, you got a lot of oiled up guys with six packs. Yeah, he was at least in the right business for what he was interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. So, now, I want to ask you, because you worked a while back, and I have never gotten the chance to talk to you about this. You got to work with one of my all-time favorite female wrestling personalities, which is Missy Hyatt, and I want to know what she was like.
You want the tea on Missy Hyatt?
Yeah, I do. Is she crazy AF?
Yeah, she's wild, and I love her to death. She's super. I'm super positive about Missy Hyatt. It worked out weird because we actually both live in Tallahassee. She had just been living here and said, "Look, I want to get involved in a little more indie wrestling stuff." So she came up to one of the shows we were doing in South Georgia, and she saw me and she was like, "I want to work with that guy." So we got together. There's a few promo videos we did together that were just really sexualized. We both played it up really. You know, she's my secret weapon. I was climbing up her, you know, touching her all over. And we got pretty tremendous heat. You know, heat is that where people just hate you. Showing up, coming to the ring together, touching on each other. And it worked out really well. I think we had about a six-month run together. She was doing a few more things. I think she's retired now completely from the entire wrestling industry, but I mean, what a crazy thing to have her, like, say, hey, you know, Missy wants to work with you. I mean, if you go back, that's the first lady of wrestling. You go back to early NWA, early WCW, I mean, she was doing it all back then. She was Sable before Sable. She was Sunny before Sunny. She was involved in the matches. I mean, she's a super legend in the business, and it's a really nice, you know, rub to get to work with a legend like that. And she was super great, super professional, and I loved it.
Well, and I love her because she's fucked everybody, honey. She fucked them all. And she wrote
up. She'll joke about it. I mean, she was joking about Lex Luger in the car ride one day. And I was like, well, you are spilling the tea over here.
I live.
Yeah, she wrote a book, told about everybody she fucked. She fucked everyone. Well, I was like, good for you, girl. So, I mean, I ain't going to hate. I would have too, bitch. I sure would have.
I told my dad about it. I said, Dad, I'm going to be working with Missy Hyatt. My dad was a huge Ric Flair fan back in the day, big Crockett Promotions, Southern Wrestling fan. He said, how's she look? I said, she looks great. He said, man, if you can get her autograph for me.
Oh, my God.
Like, I will. But, like, there's still that thought in wrestling of, like, you know, she's older now, but she's still this sex idol to a lot of these men who grew up watching her.
Well, right. I mean, I'm, like, approaching middle age, and
approaching middle age. That's cute.
You fucking bitch.
Work.
She needs to be careful because I'm about to fucking shank her with this cuticle remover. Anyway, I'm approaching middle age, and you know, I grew up
a very mature woman.
I'm 44, you bitch.
I thought you were 46 last week.
No, I'm not. The hormones have gone to her head, Effie, because she forgets everything.
Whatever.
Anyway, so I. You would love Missy Hyatt, girl. She's had more boob jobs than you have.
I've only had one.
Well, she's had more than.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those things look 20.
Well, they are 20. She might be 60, but her tits are only 15, so.
All right.
I mean, yeah. I mean.
Yeah, she's wild. It was a wild time.
I just, like, I tweeted her years ago and said that she was one of the inspirations for, like, my drag persona, and she followed me for a while on Twitter, and I was so excited about it. Yeah, she's fierce.
She no longer follows you?
She no longer follows me. She like, barely follows anybody now.
Huh.
So.
Yeah, she doesn't really follow anybody on Twitter anymore, and all she does is, like, she'll rewatch, like, Starrcade 88.
Yes.
And just live tweet it.
Yeah, she does.
She just has this string of just kind of unintelligible comments put together until you figure out what's going on.
Yeah, but I just think it's so cool that you got to work with her. And when I saw that you guys were working together, I was like, oh, this has to be exciting for a young talent. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, now.
Well, and it was like, I mean, I don't want to say it was like an ego booster, but, you know, we finished cutting those promos. And in my book, I'm really quick with promos, whether it's pictures, whether it's talking. I'm going to get it done and get out of there. And we cut like 4 promos in 10 minutes. And she was like, this is the most professional damn promo setup I've ever seen. And I was like, girl, I'm not coming to play around. I'm professional. I'm showing up. I'm getting it done, and I'm getting out of there. I did the same thing the other day. We were at one of the shows, and the photo shoot was set up, and he was like, can we get some promo shots real quick? And I jumped in front of there. I did, like, 5 poses. I was like, you got what you need? And he was like, yep. And the other wrestlers were like, that was so fast. I'm like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I know how to pose my body. I know what I need to say to get this match going. Let's go. Stop overthinking everything.
Hello. that you guys need to take a note from this. That's what's the benefit of being gay in wrestling. Every gay knows how to take a selfie. Jesus, come on now.
There's no second take.
There's no need when you know what you're doing. I mean, you just get your ass just in the picture just enough.
A mess.
Like,
oh yeah. So double turn, bite a little lip. I'm into it.
Yeah. All right. Just a mess.
So with you being located so close to Orlando, I mean, you're like a few hour drive or whatever. Has there been any effort or interest in getting involved with, like, I guess Impact Wrestling, which is kind of home based there? It would seem like a nice fit for you.
Yeah, so we actually, you know, Per, who I was talking about earlier, Per was pitching some story ideas to really sell up a pretty crazy storyline where I come in as a baby face, you know, be kind of the homosexual baby face, people can kind of get with it, and then, you know, have him heel turn with me, and we just become this horrendous gay duo. We're like, you don't hate us because we're gay, you hate us because we're fucking destroying people, and we are shitty. You know what I mean? So the focus is not on any of our sexuality, really. It's like aware, but it would be terrible just because we're bad people in general, and it has nothing to do with our sexuality. But then I did one of the, like, NXT tryout things, and I think I got in somebody's face too much. I was really in character, yelling, you know, remember my damn name, stuff like that, where, you know, everybody else was just doing their little match and getting it over with, and it was too quiet. And I did get a little handshake from William Regal, so we'll see if that goes anywhere, but you never know what they want. It's flavor of the week with them down there. So, yeah, I'm really close to all the paying wrestling, and not quite there, you know?
Well, I mean, it's...
Luckily, those merchandise sales make it up.
That is the story of every single person I know in independent professional wrestling. They're like, I better sell some damn t-shirts tonight.
Right.
You know, it's about the t-shirt and the 8.5, like 8.5 by 11 glossy and whatever, you know, whatever it is to make ends meet.
See, I get strange with merch. I'm gonna tell you straight up. I'm trying to school some of these young boys on merch because a lot of them have what I call make-a-wish merch. And I don't mean that too offensively. But a lot of people are only buying your merch because they're saying, well, we should support him. They don't really want your merch. It's terrible. What I'm trying to show them is you can make good merch that people actually want to wear. I mean, I've got shirts, stickers, patches, necklaces. I just got enamel pins that you can put on your hat. I made a custom genderless fragrance from scratch. Ordered everything from China, ordered all the supplies, made it myself, made my own fragrance. I sold out of 50 bottles of that in a month's worth of shows. So I'm all about the merchandising. There's a market for it.
Y'all, he just said that other wrestlers are like the pity fuck of merchandise sales. Girl, he's like, well, you're here. Might as well do it.
Right.
Yeah, like, oh, well, we like, you're a nice guy. We should just get a shirt. But, like, they're never going to wear it.
Right.
Or they shouldn't.
No, he said that's that they so shouldn't. Shade. Oh. So, what are your thoughts on, I mean, I don't, they've never been expressed as being, like, gay characters, but I've always felt that the fashion police in WWE are considered, like, the gay duo, ambiguously gay duo of World Wrestling Entertainment. So, what are your thoughts on them?
Well, I mean, it's a bigger problem, because the bigger problem is comfort. It's the same thing with, like, Gallows and Anderson on Raw, and this is kind of veering a little off topic, but these guys are making a lot of money doing this, and this is the dream job, so you don't really want to shake the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Fandango and Tyler Breeze honestly could be main eventing stuff. To me, those guys are super talented, super charismatic, and they can take anything you give them and roll with it. So right now, I think the Fashion Police thing, keep doing it. Get weirder with it. I mean, they're taking it so left field with all the, like, remakes of shows and the costumes and then going out and having a freaking comedy match on a pay-per-view for the tag title, I thought was genius. So I hope they keep pushing those dudes to the moon because I'm 100% in their corner. And plus, Fandango told me he liked my arms one time. It was a weird interaction.
Oh.
I don't think he's pushing the limit.
He liked them arms, girl.
Back in the day. That should have been a sign.
I live.
Well, you know, I think that the interesting thing about them is that I think that they're super talented, too. I always just hate when really, as a fan of professional wrestling, I hate when talented people get stuck with a comedy gimmick. And because comedy gimmicks never, like, seem to, with the exception of people like The New Day, which are comedic, but they're treated as, like, really talented in the ring, it just usually doesn't bode well for the long-term longevity of a, you know what I mean? Like, you know.
Yeah, they'll get, like, a split-second moment where you think they're going to be bigger than they are, but it always goes right back to that middle card.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard to kind of shake that stigma. I mean, I've done plenty of comedy stuff, and I don't mind doing comedy stuff, but the best thing for me is to surprise people, because what I want them to see when I get in the ring is, okay, here's this jackass in a shiny jacket, acting gay as hell, wearing fishnet tights, stretching his ass around, and then I get vicious, and I start beating the shit out of people. I want that surprise to go, oh shit, we kind of underestimated this dude. Oh shit, we kind of just thought he was going to be doing some gay comedy stuff out here, and now he's really hurting the guy. So you can have both sides of that to where, yeah, there's some comedy involved, it's a little funny up front, but then it can turn into some serious wrestling.
Right, and I think that that is really a key to having a character who is, like, portrayed as, or in real life, is gay, because I look back at the stuff they did, for example, with Goldust at his prime, and he was, like, weird and, you know, all of these things and freaked people out. But then he just straight up beat their ass, too. You know what I mean? And
yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't forget, Dustin Runnels is 6'4 and 265. That's a big motherfucker.
Right. Well, and so, his character, in large part, was based on exotic Adrian Street, who portrayed this very gay-esque character, despite the fact that he was actually a heterosexual.
Sorry about that. There's somebody beeping the damn horn through my road.
So,
insane-o.
So, I mean, he was based on, you know, despite the fact that he was heterosexual, he had this really over-the-top flamboyant character, but he was actually a bare-knuckles boxing champion, and so because of the fact that he could actually beat some people's ass, they didn't, he wasn't really worried about how people might treat him, because, you know, outside the ring, he's like, I'll just beat your ass, and then you'll really feel horrible. That's how I am, actually.
Exactly.
I've had that interaction with a lot of people when I'm in drag, when I tell people, like, go ahead, do something. I'm going to beat your ass, and then you're going to be ashamed, because not only are you a douchebag, but you got your ass kicked by a drag queen. It's going to be horrible for you. Like, I'm not a small person either.
If the guy in the dress with better makeup than your girlfriend, just beat your ass in the road.
Exactly. I mean,
well,
hey, can I give you an Adrian Street story real quick?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so I worked this big reunion show in Dothan, Alabama, and they bring in, like, the younger talent to just kind of be the undercard to really fill things out. They've got all these guys that are, like, old NWA, WCW guys coming in that are going to work their little matches. And they had Adrian in for a signing, and we came to him. We said, look, you know, the promoter said, you know, we really want you to do a spot with Effie. We want you to get out there and, you know, he'll act like he's in love with you. He'll act like he's your fan, and, you know, you can get one spot in. He just said, I'm tired of everyone copying me, and I'm not going to be a part of it. I was like, well, okay. So we went back about our lives. He didn't like me too much, but he's made his money, and he's had his day. So move on, buddy.
It's interesting to think that just because somebody, he did, you know, break down some barriers and, like, kicked on the wall, but honey, that was 1983. Like, we're talking like 30 years later plus. Move on, bitch. I mean, I am still, like, I've always been obsessed with him because of the fact that
I'm still super obsessed with him. I'm glad he even paid me any notice, but I was just like, okay, don't act like you're too good for this.
Well, and I maybe that he should go by the old imitation is the sincerest form of flattery idea. Like, you know.
Absolutely.
I would think that people who are inspire, whether you're a musician who inspires other musicians or you're an athlete who inspires other athletes, like, at some point you have to be aware that everything that goes around comes around, and, you know, the trend that you might have started is going to be reborn, and your trend, I mean, to be honest, he only took it a little bit more extreme than, like, Gorgeous George did during the 50s and 60s, so it's always been there.
Exactly.
The flamboyant, over-the-top character, he did make it seem expressly and explicitly gay, but that was even present with Gorgeous George.
Well, and, you know, nobody has a license on being a kind of effeminate dude. You know, nobody owns that trait. You know, if there was a license on being a big tough guy, wrestling would go out of business. So, you know, similarity is not always complete imitation if you really look at it.
No, not at all. Now, Effie, how can people find you on social media so they can follow you?
Easy. It is Kill Effie. On Instagram, it's at Kill Effie. K-I-L-L-E-F-F-Y. On Facebook, I think it's Effie, just Effie. And Twitter, also Kill Effie. I spend time between me and my merch guy doing the Twitter, so you never really know who's on there, who's running it. It's usually him bored at shows. We get a little weirder on Twitter, so it's fun. And Kill Effie, you know, had a lot of people who weren't into me. So I said, go ahead, try it. Come kill me.
Oh, my God. Well, thanks for joining us, Effie. We appreciate it.
So fabulous.
I loved it. Thank you guys for having me on.
And we wish you the best of luck.
We'll catch you next time.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Be good.
You too. And if you can't be good at it. Hey!
Sweet. Y'all have a good night.
Bye. You too. All right, you guys. That was Effie Gibbs. As I said, he is a professional wrestler down throughout the Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana. Girl, he's all over the South where people are really... That must be really pressing. He's got a good attitude about it, though, bitch. But I'd be like, okay, girl, I need some security to walk me to my car.
Or I need to move, girl.
Well, you know, he's doing what he's doing down there. He's enjoying life. He's got a nice little career going for himself. Oh.
Yep. Well, on that note, we will be right back after these next few messages.
Aww. All right, we'll be back in a moment with more Party Foul Radio.
We are Pentatonix.
From Arlington, Texas.
Mitch, Kirsty, and I are the trio. We're the best friends.
These five unknowns came out of nowhere to set our stage on fire and revolutionize a cappella music. Now they've returned to show us what earned them the crown. Please welcome Pentatonix.
And you're listening to
Party Foul Radio. With you, I'm naked, baby. Visit guidetogay.com to stay abreast of all the LGBTQI-related news, information, and travel coverage down under. Guidetogay.com is Australia's premier LGBTQ website. Visit guidetogay.com today. Guidetogay.com is a proud media sponsor of Party Foul Radio.
And we're back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Miss Poya Lamar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
We just heard from out professional wrestler Effie Gibbs. Effie Gibbs. Effie Gibbs. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Kill Effie. Go on, Kill Effie. Don't do it. We like him. So, very shortly, we're going to be having another call-in guest as our interview. We're going to be talking to Shishi Devane, y'all.
From RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes, we are. That girl turns it out too, honey. I'm not gonna lie to you. She was performing. She did everything. She kicked off her shoes. She was brave too, bitch. She was doing all kinds of cartwheels and flips on a granite stage. I said, oh, no hells to the no, bitch. No, ma'am, Pam. So, I'm trying to think of what else we need to tell y'all about. There is nothing real exciting going on here that I can think of.
This weekend, like I said, I have Comic-Con, but that's I'm doing that all 3 days this weekend. I'm not doing nothing else.
Come on, Comic-Con!
I did just shoot for this calendar coming up that's going to be out for 2017. And then tomorrow, I actually, when you guys hear this, that evening, the evening you guys are hearing this, Wednesday night, I will be meeting with AJSF to talk about my start date.
Oh, finally. Very fabulous. Yes. Yes, girl. You're hella quiet, bitch. I'm going to move this closer to you because you know I'm a loud bitch.
Right.
So, well, that's great. Congratulations, Perliqua.
I know. I really can't wait to start because I know it's going to be a couple weeks before I can get on stage there, but I'm juiced for the money, honey.
Come on, money, honey. Good for you, Pearl. Well, that we almost...
Alongside of that, just... personal life, my little brother's moving in with me this weekend. It's finally here. Jesus, girl.
It's happening, bitch. Her brother's moving in, girl.
Yes.
Well, I ain't got nothing to announce in my personal life. Nothing.
Nothing. What happened to the man you were interested in, didn't know if you were dating, that was traveling for a little bit.
The porn star.
Yes.
he's still traveling. He's still traveling. We went out a couple times. Obviously, we are not dating because I only hear from him periodically or whatever.
Maybe when he gets back from traveling.
Maybe. Well, maybe we'll revisit that idea. You know, I am.
Well.
Yeah. No. There's nothing going on there, girl. I like.
Still got the cobwebs, you know.
It's not even about that.
Is where you insert crickets, girl.
Like, I got the romantic cobwebs. Like,
the romantic cobwebs?
Yes, bitch. Like, there's cobwebs on my desire for romance that just, like, hanging there.
I can relate. With
fucking Charlotte spinning webs. Pig on my romance.
I can relate. Like, I get these dates, and I either get guys that are too afraid to make a move, or all they want is to get in my pants.
Oh. Know?
So, I mean, there's no romance there.
Put down your shit, bitch. She's constantly picking something up right in the microphone.
You know, if Pollo had a decent, clean space.
Bitch.
Where?
I'm sitting here perfectly still at this thing. Meanwhile, she's rustling in the Cheez-Its. Got the fucking Lexi. That was your artwork. She was just twirling up in there. She got the fan. She's a mess. Anyway, you know, I will say this. Like, after last week, we talked about our OkCupid ads.
Oh, and that's right.
Mm-hmm. I updated mine to include all that shit that Pearl, like, read me for. And then after 2 days, I was like, you know what? This is more trouble than it's worth. And I deactivated my account.
It is a lot of work. But you know what?
I just don't have the desire to be chatting with bitches and, like...
Yeah, small talk.
Small talk and then nothing coming of it or whatever. Yeah. And I don't know. I have something that I was much more interested in, like, spending my time doing than that. And
I haven't checked mine all day. I have 13 messages.
So I deactivated my account. I'm not interested. I'll try to.
You're not interested or you're lazy?
I'm not interested in that. Like, I would rather spend time. Like I said, I was hanging out with somebody. I've been hanging out with some people who, like, sort of borderline feel the need for feeling like I've got something special going on. Like, even if it's just a friendship, it feels special and it's nice. And I'm like, I'd rather focus on just that bullshit than running around trying to, like, get some person to agree to meet with me. It's bullshit. All right, you guys, let's let's call Chi Chi Devane and see what she's up to. Hopefully we can get her. It is 9 o'clock her time, 7 o'clock our time. Let's ring her up. Like, really, hopefully she'll answer.
No, I don't think it's gonna happen.
Well, how dare she? Y'all, earlier I was texting her and accidentally sent her some voice. You know how you can, on an iPhone, you can send a voice message?
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice
messaging system.
Girl, earlier I was texting her and I accidentally pressed, like, one of those things where you send a voicemail or voice message or whatever. It was me talking to some feral cat and she's like, it's okay, here's my baby. She sent, look how cute her cat is. Her cat's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And is that a small cat? Oh, no, that's a foot. That's her foot next to her cat. Anyway, well, I'll message her and be like, call us back. Anyway.
There she go.
Oh, hey. Miss Chi Chi Devane.
Hey.
It's Pollo Del Mar, and I'm here with my girl Pearl Tease. You guys work together on
Friday.
Oh, cool.
She's like, oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I remember her. That bitch is a bitch.
In Sacramento with Kim Chi. You guys are fabulous.
So, what did you think of San Jose Pride?
I thought it was cool. It was good. It was cool.
It was hot. She's like, it was cool. I was like, it was anything but cool. It was hot as fuck, bitch.
Hey, no, everything but cool.
So, you are still traveling quite a lot, it seems. So, tell us what that schedule is like for you.
It's a lot. I'm due for a Christmas tour, hopefully November.
through December. And next, I'm going to Hong Kong.
Oh, that's exciting. Does it ever get really, like, exhausting? Like,
it sounds like it is.
Like, kind of always having to keep your drag bag packed just to pick up and go.
The only thing I change is the outfits out of my drag bag. But for the most part, the makeup and everything stays packed up. And I just, you know, switch out dresses.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, I know that even the small amount of traveling I do can get exhausting, because it's not just like showing up to do a show somewhere in town. It's like you got to get there and then you got to check in your hotel, and you know, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it's a process.
One of the things that we are looking at right now, I know that they just filmed season 9, and like they've got All Stars 3, and do you still really keep up with what's happening on the show as it, you know, as it moves forward?
Pretty much, yeah. yeah.
Girl, are
I
you
love the show?
Are you okay?
You're like so quiet. Are you just like, did we wake you up?
No.
Are you always super quiet as a person? Well, what was that like then as a shy person being on the show where you're being monitored all the time and like recorded all the time and having to be aware of being lively enough to at least get some airtime?
I know. It was hard. I had to be constantly reminded, you know, that I'm on a TV show, so please say something. I've always been a shy person, but it's like that's why doing drag to me, like, my favorite part is like actually like being on stage, because the adrenaline gets pumping and all that kind of stuff, and the shyness goes away.
Well, whatever you did on the show, it worked, because you were definitely one of like the fam favorites.
I remember, like, you were very charming on the show. You were, like, the sweet country girl.
Right.
You know.
Sweet country girl.
We love... Mm-hmm. Y'all...
Hello.
I'm here. I'm, like, I'm trying to figure out... I need to figure out what to do to get you to talk, bitch. That's the thing. I'm, like... Like...
I'm talking.
You turn it out on stage, girl, and I'm like, so is it uncomfortable for you then, since you love being on stage, and as a shy person, it's so difficult for me to imagine that, because I know that when you walk off stage, you're forced to interact with people because people want to know you. They want to talk to you. Is that difficult for you?
Yes, it is. It is. I don't know. Maybe it's a drag thing. You know how sometimes you're more confident when you're in drag than you are outside of drag. Maybe that's why I'm... I feel like I'm shy as Xavier, and then, like, you know, I have Chi-Chi to back it up, I guess.
Well, girl, how does that work out for you? Because after being on the show, like, let's talk about this in, like, just as a gay man, you are now a... You're a celebrity. People recognize you when you go places. You're a very attractive boy. I'm sure people are like trying to chat you up, and then like,
you got to be able to back that up.
Girl, how do you do that?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
I'm
girl.
Not a talkative person. I'm just a guy.
All right, girl. Well, you've traveled a lot, and you have a lot more traveling to do. Do you have a favorite place that you've been to so far?
I've been to all those places, so it's just any of the overseas gigs are my favorite places because, you know, I just never thought that I would be able to see those parts of the world. So yeah.
As a person who comes from, like, sort of a small town and... Yeah, I mean, like, you get the opportunity to travel all these places, and what is that like to step outside of what you grew up and were accustomed to and getting to see these places that are so international and have such a different mindset than the South, America?
It's mind-blowing. I was just in San Francisco, and I shit my pants because I recognize, like, some of the apartments. I'm like, oh, those are the style apartments that I saw on TV growing up. Like, yeah, it's still quite an experience for me. Because I'm really ghetto and, like, I just never thought it happened, so.
Well, I mean, I think that You call it really ghetto, but I think of it as being like sort of like naive and not exposed or not jaded. Like, yeah. Very much.
That sounds a lot better than.
Right. Well, I mean, you come from this world where you weren't exposed to a lot of things, whether that was culturally or whatever. That doesn't make you a bad person. I think about the South, you know, the U.S. and the South specifically, because I lived in areas of that as well, and we just didn't have a lot of stuff. And then now you get this opportunity to explore the world. How do you feel that's changing you as a person?
It opened my eyes to the possibility of, like, okay, like shit is real. You know what I mean? Like, being able to say, okay, I want to move to L.A. now and pursue a career in dance as well as drag, like, that's a possibility, and, like, that's something that I'm going to do. And, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know, is it a story we call it a Cinderella story?
It is a Cinderella story.
Right, girl, I wish I had it.
You're from Louisiana, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were you around when Katrina hit back in the day?
Oh, yeah. I was in Louisiana, but, like, it didn't... I live in north Louisiana, so it didn't affect us as bad. There was no flooding.
Right. I mean, I was just wondering what your perspective on that was, because we were talking earlier in the show about how this thing in Houston is the worst that we've seen in that regard since Katrina, and I can only imagine what it must have been like to even just be in Louisiana when all of that was going down, because your whole state was affected.
Yeah. It was another, like, 9/11. That's how I compare it to, you know what I mean? Like, when you actually, like, you can see people suffering, but there's nothing you can do about it, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because then you had a lot of these people, you know, displaced, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine that, because when you have an entire major metropolitan area, like in the case of Katrina, like New Orleans, in areas of that were completely wiped out, those people have to go somewhere. So I can only imagine that they flooded all over the state, literally, the people.
Yep. Like, people had to stay in shelter for months. And then it became like a whole, like, those people against us. You know what I mean? Like, it was just too much. It was too much.
It's heartbreaking to watch what's going on in Houston. It's terrible that we're going through this whole thing again.
Yeah.
When you started drag, was it because you liked to perform, or was it because of the fact that you wanted something to be able to break out of your shell?
Um, doing drag. It was just for fun. It was just like, okay, this Halloween, I want to dress up as, I want to be Nicki Minaj. So I did it, and then everybody was like, wow, you really look good, you know, as a girl. So I started just like, just doing it, like, you know, at the spur of the moment on 4th of July or whatever. And so it turned into just like something that I would just do. And, I became one of Miss, our club queen, queen of the club, Miss Central Station. And so I gained a regular booking. And that's how I did it. But it was just something I did for fun. And I, you know, made it on TV, and now it's a career.
Right. And how, had you only auditioned the one time?
I auditioned two times, actually. I auditioned for season 7, and I made it on season 8.
That speaks volumes. I mean, I don't know exactly what goes into the casting, but I know girls who've auditioned every single year and never even gotten a call back, much less.
You have to have so much personality in those videos. How did your family and your friends kind of react to this new found stardom you have, or celebrity that you have now that you're traveling and stuff?
Oh, my family, they love it. I mean, like I said on the show, like, it's very hard to make something, you know, out of yourself from where I come from. So any kind of success, they are all for it. I mean, it's just like, yeah, before my mom, she really wasn't that accepting of me doing drag because she didn't feel like it could become a lucrative career. Or, you know, it was something that I was spending extra money on when I could be spending money on, you know, this, and I'm spending money buying dresses. So she didn't really understand it at first, but now she's pretty much cool with it.
You talk a lot about it being difficult to have success where you're from and kind of being difficult to break free of that environment. And I was wondering, describe for us what the environment is like where you grew up. What was that experience like?
I guess many people can relate to having a single parent, you know, that has multiple children. It's not just me. I have an older brother and a younger sister, so having a single parent, you know, growing up, you know, there was not a lot of opportunities for us to, you know, be in, like, dance school or art classes to nurture all the talent that we have or whatever. And then the schools where we, in the neighborhood I grew up in, like, there were no theater classes or, you know what I mean, stuff like that. It was just reading, writing, and arithmetic, and go home, and you know, so it's just, we're like you said, we're in a southern state or city, smaller Shreveport, like, there aren't many opportunities for, like, doing things like that. Go to work and come home, pretty much.
The only thing that I know about Shreveport, Louisiana, is that there's a horse racing track there. And
yeah.
And when I lived in Houston, my uncle used to go to Shreveport to race horses. And that was the only thing I knew about it. And I've been to Shreveport, but that was the only, just to the racetrack.
I've never heard of it.
It's tiny.
Louisiana Downs is really tiny.
Exactly. But I used to always follow the horse racing there because my uncle was a professional jockey and he used to go there on a regular basis. So, in fact, that's where he had his affair and broke up his marriage.
Oh, really?
Yes, girl.
The gag.
So,
damn. Lord.
Honey, sexy D.
No, not my mom.
Oh.
Girl, my uncle. Not my dad,
oh,
girl.
Oh, girl, I thought it was your dad. My bad.
No, girl, no.
Oh.
No. So, Now, I'm curious because you mentioned that you want to go to L.A. A lot of people, once they have been on the show, specifically if coming from a town as small as Shreveport, they just wouldn't go back. Like, right. Why have you spent the last year and a half or so back at home?
Yeah, I feel like I had to... To me, before I just up and just move, I feel like you should... I had to stabilize myself. I was, like, going through a bankruptcy and, you know, and just really had no foundation. Like, I was living with somebody else. They were paying my bills.
Mm-hmm.
And all that kind of stuff. So I just took the time after the show and the money after the show, and I put it into stabilizing myself, bank account, and, you know, just making sure I have furniture and stuff like that.
Girl, you said you were living with somebody else who was paying the bills. You had a sugar daddy, bitch.
Right.
That's not a good situation, not all the time.
Notice, Pearl, she did not deny it. She's like, well... Good for you for having a sugar daddy. I'm going to have to insert those pieces where when Mimi on First was like, you had a sugar daddy.
Boo, just because you got a sugar daddy who pays for everything for you?
Oh? Where did this bitch hear that I had a sugar daddy?
Time out. Hold up, sweetheart. Let's get it together before you want to read. I'm not even in a relationship, let alone have some old man shacked up with that's buying me all my dragon costumes. I don't have a sugar daddy, sweetheart. Everything that I've had, I've worked for. And I worked for to get, and I've built myself. So I need you to know that 100%. I don't have a sugar daddy. I've never had a sugar daddy. I want a sugar daddy. Yes, I'm probably going to get one because I am what? Sickening. You can never have a sugar daddy because you
don't
have a sugar daddy.
Right.
I guess you can call it that.
Well, I guess if I had somebody who was willing to pay my damn bills,
no,
I'd...
Shame in your game. Yeah, right. Girl.
I sure would too, bitch. Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess it, like, the downside of that, of course, is it's like any relationship where one person is more financially stable than the other. There feels like, did you feel really controlled in that situation?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
How did that happen? I mean, well, how did he respond to the fact that all of a sudden you came home and you were like, well, by the way, I don't need you paying my bills anymore.
It's like he didn't take that very well, because he, he was the person that, you know what, I guess people to need him for stuff. So yeah.
Well, now, okay, I'm gonna get all up in your business. I know that some of those situations are strictly pretty much financial. Was this an emotional thing for you too? Did you care about him?
I did care about him. It's just one of those deals where you, like, start off really, really good, and then next thing you know, it's 5 years later and you're in a relationship. Because you're basically stuck, he's paying bills, and, you know, like, you want out, but why would I move out to struggle when I can just suffer in comfort? It's horrible.
Are you guys still together?
No.
She said.
I got that coin and I disappeared.
But she said, I suffered in comfort. So, what is dating like for you then?
I don't really date. I'm currently in another relationship.
Oh.
But it's a long distance relationship. I'm one of those people where, like, I have to have a boyfriend. Like, there's no space in between. Like, I meet somebody and I'm like, you're my boyfriend.
Okay, I'm gonna psychoanalyze you a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
The reason that I think that, I mean, there's probably a million reasons why that happens for you, but my strong guess after just this phone call is that you find it really difficult to communicate with people. You get very uncomfortable. And as soon as you find somebody that you're comfortable with and that you feel like you can open up with a little bit, you immediately gravitate to them and, like, jump on it because of the fact that that comfort is so valuable to you.
Oh, my God. You're so right.
Yeah. The reason that, like, I guess that is because interacting with you right now reminds me of one of my ex-boyfriends, Ms. Palou. Reminds me of Ms. Palou. Because you're, like, super quiet, just like my ex, who also does drag. And when he feels really comfortable around somebody, he loves to spend time with them because he's so quiet, like you are. And when he's with somebody that he's comfortable with, they can talk and be, you know, he feels like, it's like a weight is off his shoulders.
Yeah, totally right.
How does that work for you, though, long distance? Like, how long distance are we talking about, girl?
Baltimore. Louisiana and Baltimore.
How often do you see each other?
Well, it's been a few weeks. Yeah, but we try to see each other as much as possible. It's hard, though. This is the first time I've done a long-distance relationship. And it's wearing me out.
Yeah. My other guess is that when you are in a relationship, you like to spend a lot of time with that person.
Yeah.
Come on, Miss Cleo.
But I'm also a loner, too. I like to be alone a lot. I don't know how that works out.
It's very interesting to me. Like, I don't know. I just remember you being on the show and you did not come across as quiet as you appear to be in real life.
Oh, you have to turn up for the TV. you have to kind of put aside. And then, too, like, we go crazy when we film. Like, they have us locked away and we don't get a chance to even, we don't interact with anybody unless we're on the camera. So, you kind of have a lot to say when you're on TV.
Now, if they were able to capture a different side of you in terms of, like, your level of interactivity with people on the show, did they capture anything else about you that you do not feel was accurately reflected?
No. I feel like I was portrayed accurately. I had a good edit. I was the same exact person that I was on TV. I just, except, I'm quiet, I guess.
But you really do, girl, you really come to life on stage, though. I was telling, before we brought you on, I was saying, that bitch was doing flips and cartwheels and all kinds of things on a granite stage. Bitch, I was scared for you.
Yeah, on stage, it's different for me. Like, I light up when I get on stage.
I mean, I think that's for a lot of us, but I think that I do notice that even on stage, I would say that there's something about you that does come to life, but you're still a little withdrawn and a little reserved, even on stage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I get nervous. I get really, 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 really nervous. I was just talking about these the other day. I was talking about how I can break away from, being like, just holding myself back. Because I can actually do way more than I normally do on stage. I don't know what's wrong with me. I still get nervous every time.
Have you ever hung out with Kennedy Davenport?
Just hung? Like, we do gigs and stuff together with, like, hung out of the house chilling, though.
The reason I ask is because I've worked with both of you, and I think that you have really similar personality types. Kennedy is also a little bit withdrawn.
She's a little... She is still really, really lively, though.
I mean, she just... She tends to be... In my interaction with her, she was a little more withdrawn in person, but she comes to life on stage. And that's... And, you know, I think that that's just a parallel I drew between the two of you.
When I worked with her, she was a lot of fun, I think, to be with. And I enjoyed working with her. Like, I totally would work with Kennedy again. She was such a delight.
Oh my God, Gigi, she just said that you were not fun to work with.
That is not what I said.
God, I'm so sorry. My co-host is a bitch, and she just insulted you.
Go on, listen to her.
No, I mean, I think we have to, we have to kind of, like, warm up to people. I don't know. I guess, you know, I don't know. I can't explain it.
If they were to call you and say, hey, we want you to come back for an All-Stars season, knowing that what it go you have to go through and all that, is that something that you would want to do?
I would most definitely do it. And because I feel like I've grown since my season, so
true.
I definitely want to go back and like show a little bit of growth and.
Yeah, girl, your costume game has stepped up so much, and your paint's evolved, girl, everything.
Yeah, I was going through old pictures today, and I was just like, ooh, my paint has changed a lot.
Honey, that's all of us, though.
Right.
You go back a few years, for any of us, we're like, oh, damn.
That's true.
Like, what was I thinking? Chi-Chi, how can people find you online?
Find me on Baby and Davenport's my name, V-A-V-I-O-N, on Facebook. They made me change from Chi-Chi. And I have ChiChiDevane.com. I have a website. And I am the official Chi-Chi Devane on Instagram.
Come on, girl.
All right.
And hopefully I'll be starting a YouTube channel. I haven't thought about what I want to talk about yet, but...
Well... I'm so glad that you decided to join us. Thank you for being part of our Party Fail Radio family now. And we look forward to seeing what's coming from you in the future.
Well, thank y'all so much.
All right.
And girl, good luck with that long distance relationship, boo.
I hope it works out. It's going to work out. I'm going to make it work out.
All right. All right, girl.
Thank y'all.
Bye, honey.
Bye, babe.
Y'all, she's so sweet and so quiet.
All right. Well, that was Cheech Devane here on Party Foul Radio. We'll be right back right after this.
We'll be back after this message. Swiss Navy Premium Personal Lubricants is a proud sponsor of Party Foul Radio. For all of your personal lubrication needs, visit a fine retailer near you and ask for Swiss Navy Premium Personal Lubricants. They have a lube for every orifice, from masturbation creams to premium silicone and water-based lubricants. Pick up Swiss Navy Premium Lubricants today. San Francisco's Left magazine covers all the highlights of LGBTQ life in Northern California. Each issue of Left magazine is packed with celebrity interviews, news, party updates, and beautiful photo pictorials of LGBTQ life throughout San Francisco and all of Northern California. Pick up your copy of Left magazine in San Francisco's Castro District today or visit them online at liveleft.com. That's Left magazine at liveleft.com. Left Magazine is a proud media sponsor of Party Foul Radio. All right, you guys, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. That was our delightful and exciting interview with Chi-Chi Devane from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 8.
So sweet.
She is a doll, you guys. Oh, my goodness. We might wrap this episode up a little early, bitch.
We might, just for you. I'm not sure. Maybe, you know what? Maybe we'll try to get Kimchi for you guys. She was real sweet, too.
We're trying to get Milk. I'm trying to get Milk on the show.
And possibly Superfruit.
Yes.
Is there any updates on that?
There is not an update, but Superfruit's manager or PR team did email me back, you guys. They loved the written interview. I wrote up my interview with Kirsten. Well, because of the fact that they saw the written interview. Okay, so you guys, just so you know how I, as the producer of the show, like, help get us some of these incredible guests, is I tell them, for example, like, I would like to do an interview on my podcast, and then I write it up for HuffPost, Queer Voices. And we had Kirsten Maldonado on last week from Pentatonix. And then I wrote it up for HuffPost Queer, and I sent that off to the publicist for Pentatonix. As we mentioned, well, I didn't mention it on the show last week, but Pentatonix just announced that they're going to be doing 12 Christmas shows, 12 Christmas concerts. They're going to have a new NBC Christmas special on NBC, obviously. Their show last year, their Christmas special, drew over 10 million viewers. And they're going to have a deluxe edition of their 2016 chart-topping Christmas album coming out in just a few weeks. So hopefully we're going to be able to get Superfruit on with us.
Yeah, Superfruit has an album coming out, their second part to their first album, either this weekend or in like 2 weeks.
This just in, while editing episode 81 of Party Foul Radio, we received notification from Superfruit's PR team that Party Foul Radio will in fact be interviewing Superfruit on September 5th. Fans of Pentatonix, please stay tuned.
So that's a possibility. I've got a whole bunch of big names that are looking at possibly being on the podcast. Just to throw out some names for you guys, we're going to have possibly, I'm in the pipeline to get an interview with Lauren from Fifth Harmony.
All right.
That's going to be exciting. Did you see Fifth Harmony's performance at the VMA Awards?
I heard the song, but I haven't seen the performance.
Okay, well, I hope that they don't hold this against me. I do not like the song Angel by them, that new single, Angel. Not loving it. I did not.
Have you heard the album?
I have not heard the album.
I think there's maybe one or two songs on the album I like.
That's it?
Yeah, but yeah.
I mean, I will say that I thought it was a gag when they started off their VMA performance and there was five of them on stage. There's five of them on stage and the center girl, like you can only see the silhouettes.
Uh-huh.
And then the lights come up and just like as they one by one start to sing, the light comes up on them. And then it comes up. Like, it goes to, before it comes up on the fifth girl, it snatches her off stage. I'm going to show it to you.
That it's is fucking hilarious.
Hilarious. So, hold on. We're going to look it up, you guys.
I heard it was kind of shady.
It was. And I love, like, the fact that they were like, did Fifth Harmony just shade Camille Cabello?
Right.
Or whatever. I was like, you think, bitch? yeah. They shaded the fuck out of her. So, watch.
Was she there?
Who knows? Oh, not an ad, bitch.
Girl, the ads are unreal lately.
Yeah, the ads are fucking horrendous. Anyway, I'm trying to get Lauren on because her publicist said that, you know, she really likes to talk. She's bisexual. She likes to really talk about that and promote bisexual visibility. Hold on, we're going to have to just watch. We're going to have to. I'll cut this out.
You could just do this. Warm nacho cheese sauce. Oh, my God. Why? What is wrong with your fucking hair?
Girl, anyway. So, but everybody online was like, did they just shade Camille? Fuck yeah, they shaded her. Whatever her name is. Is it Camila? Watch, look. Five.
That's hilarious.
Here we go, y'all.
They didn't even really show. Wait, where'd she go?
It snatched her off stage.
Wait, go back.
Watch.
Is it the center girl that they said?
The center girl, watch.
Girl, she flew back.
It's done. Snatched that bitch right off the stage. So that got some hype, but their live vocal performance was a little underwhelming.
Oh, girl.
Yikes. Anyway,
performances I did see, I saw Katy Perry's and Nicki Minaj's, and
was there a slight eye roll with that?
I mean, she needs to move on to a different song.
They're really trying to make that song happen. I just think that there's not a lot left on that album for her, and the album has underwhelmed everybody across the board.
Right.
Meanwhile, Taylor Swift came back, bitch. That Taylor Swift video is on fire, and the Taylor Swift song is, like, probably gonna shoot to number one.
I don't know. I think it's kind of, it's gimmicky, and I'm so over this, like, white girl drama, girl.
Well, that white girl drama is apparently not directed at Katy Perry. That white girl drama is actually allegedly directed at Kanye West. But I think, listen to the song, listeners. Listen to Look What You Made Me Do, and see if it doesn't sound like Meghan Trainor to you guys. The chorus, kind of. The chorus sounds like Me Too or No.
It sounds like Me Too and a little bit of, yeah, you're right.
It sounds a lot like Meghan Trainor. I would not be shocked to see Meghan Trainor credited as a songwriter on that shit.
I know it's gotten a lot of slack for someone looking like Beyonce online. Like, Black Twitter went in on her. And Todrick Hall's actually in
it. Todrick Hall is in it.
And
so, good for him. Good for Todrick Hall, bitch.
He's getting paid.
He's the
one who choreographed her video.
And he is, like, centrally located in the chorus line of, like, you know, the thing about it is, like, I think that the reason that Black Twitter might have gone in on her for whatever their reason was, but the reason that I think that she paid homage to Single Ladies is because that was the song that Kanye West shaded her about. Mm. Remember, her album won Album of the Year, and Todrick Hall came up and was like,
I had no idea she paid homage to Single Ladies. I heard a lot about it looking a lot like Formation.
Oh, maybe so. Who knows? I don't know. I think that it was purposely referential, because it was referencing the Beyonce situation where Kanye West... By the way, Kanye West, I still stand behind the fact that
he's another crazy one. Doesn't he support Trump?
I don't know. He, if I were her and he'd have come up on stage to fucking interrupt my award ceremony, I'd have kicked him right in the sniz and sent him on his way.
Right.
But, oh, recently Kim Kardashian West spoke to Billboard magazine, and she said, not bad for a girl with no talent. That was like...
Oh, shade.
Taylor Swift, about herself. Like, I'm not doing too bad for a girl with no talent. And I was like, well, bitch, at least you know that the only talent you got is for taking black dick, bitch. Good for you.
You know.
I got considerable talent in that category as well, right, honey, but I ain't cashing no checks like you are, bitch. So right. I have to give you some major
wrong
props.
Lines, girl.
That's the damn truth. Ray J, where are you when I need to release a sex tape and get famous, honey? Come on now.
That poor tape. Anyway.
I don't know. So... This weekend, Pearl is going to Comic-Con.
Yeah, and if I get some cards, maybe I'll get us some fun people from the Comic-Con convention.
That would be fun. I don't have any huge plans for this weekend at all. I don't know what exactly is going to be on my agenda, but I'm going to, you know, the weekend feels...
Do you still have your Wonder Woman costume?
Of course I have my Wonder Woman costume.
You know
what,
it would be fun if you came with me. Just one of the days.
Oh, maybe I will. Maybe I'll think about it, per legal.
You should, because Sayoni Gray is talking about coming with me for one of the days.
As Storm?
Yeah, well, so I'm dressing up two of the 3 days that I'm going. I'm going to go as like a casual kind of like rock star Storm, and then I'm going to go as Jubilation Lee. But if she comes with us, I'm going to go as Jubilee, and my partner's actually going to go as Beast. All from X-Men, and then she'll be Storm. And you could be Wonder Woman, and that's not really X-Men, but it'll work.
It's clearly not X-Men. It's totally not even Marvel.
It's not even the same universe, yeah.
So, nonetheless, well, maybe that's something to think about. Anyway, you guys, we definitely want to push for you. Follow us on our Twitter account.
Party Foul Radio.
Follow us on our Facebook account.
Party Foul Radio.
Follow Pearl on Twitter.
Pearl Tease.
Double E.
Two E's. T-E-E-S-E.
And follow me at the Glamazon PDM.
Or Emporio Del Mar Fans on Instagram.
And Facebook. You guys, this has been episode 81 of Party Foul Radio.
You know.
Next week, we're going to have some more celebrity guests on with us, of course. And I do want to tell you, in the morning time, by the time you're listening to this, I should be interviewing. There is a great singer who is making the rounds. She's got a fantastic breakout new video. And I've enjoyed her music for a while. She's the other Ariana. Not Ariana Grande, but check her out. Look her up on YouTube for Ariana and the Rose. That is the name of her group. And check them out. They've got some fun stuff. I've liked them since their remix single in Your Bed came out a few years ago, but we're going to have them on bed. And we will have much more. This has been episode 81 of Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Almar.
And I'm Pearl T.
And we're out of here. Bye. Bye, you guys.
Go, 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 go